Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. And we do this show every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. Of course, I am Gregory Crawford, or Greg Crawford. My mother always preferred Gregory, so I try and use that name as much as I can out of respect for her. And I was fortunate enough to have a great mother. But you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. And, of course, that is my web sports page, and I try and write in there nearly every day. I take a few days off on occasion. We do a lot of sports business. We're going to do a lot of football. We'll do high school there. We're also going to do college, NBA, the NBA draft, sports business, as I said. It's an exciting time in sports these days, and everybody loves sports business. And that's why I do this show, and that's why we do a lot on the webpage. But there's other things on there. We also do the power rankings. We do the NBA ones. We do a lot of the leagues, a lot of the college leagues locally in the Portland area where I live, and that's always a lot of fun. But tonight, coming up very soon, this is going to be an exciting program. We're going to have on the great Jay Allen. And, you know, of course, I'm a big fan of Jay's. I talk about him a lot. I love his post-game shows that and pre-game shows that he does with the Blazers. He covers the Oregon Ducks, especially the football side of the Ducks, and that's always really great. And Jay is going to join us pretty soon here, and it's going to be great fun to talk to Jay. We got so much, and I think he's with us right now. So let's bring on the great Jay Allen, who does so much in the Portland metro area media. The greatest thing he does, the post-game show with the Blazers and pre-game and all the interviews at practice and everything. Jay, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Great, Greg. Good to be on your show. And I've been looking forward to this moment for a long time. I never thought you'd ask, but you finally did, and I'm honored to be a guest here on your show. Absolutely.
You're welcome anytime. And we got Jay, your drawing power is pretty good. We have a huge audience tonight, and this will intrigue you, Jay. This is the power of the Blazers. We have people listening in 14 countries tonight, and so that's pretty phenomenal. And I'm not talking about just Mexico and Canada. I'm talking around the world, so we're going to have a lot of fun tonight, Jay. But speaking of fun, on a personal note, you have a new addition in your family.
Yeah, that's right. My wife, Mandy, gave birth to our second daughter. She'll be 3 weeks old tomorrow, actually. So Peyton joined our family 3 weeks ago, and she's doing great. And she has a big sister, Nora, who's just almost 2.5 years old. So everybody's doing good. We're trying to get some sleep when we can. But baby's doing good. Mama's doing good. And we're going through that transition of going from one kid to two, and it's been great. It's been pretty awesome so far, and I love being daddy to two girls. It's a lot of fun. You know, I always tell people ask me, you know, well, wouldn't you like to have a son? And, you know, sure, that would have been fun, you know, to have a boy, and that would have been cool. But, you know, as you know, Greg, I mean, I'm around a lot of testosterone just because of my job. I'm in a lot of sweaty locker rooms with athletes and all that stuff, so it's kind of nice to come home to my girls, you know, at the end of the day. So it's pretty fun. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you betcha. And how's Nora doing with the baby? I mean, I bet you she's just totally excited.
Yeah, she's doing great. She was exactly 2 years and 3 months older than her little sister, and she's doing good. You know, there's always a little bit of an adjustment, and, you know, you got to figure out how you're divvying up your time. Because Nora's been pretty much our main focus the last couple of years since she joined our family in 2013. But she's doing good, and she's a big sister, and we try to involve her in as much as we can, you know. And she's mommy's helper and daddy's helper, so she's doing awesome. And I love taking, you know, she's my little princess, Greg. You know, we're friends on Facebook. You see the posts. So So I love taking her out on little outings and everything around the area, and we have a lot of fun together. So I'm very much outnumbered here at my house. I mean, obviously I have my wife Mandy, the two girls, and then both of our dogs, the Basset Hounds, are girls too. So I'm outnumbered 5-1 here at the Allen household in Tualatin.
That can be good and bad, Jay, definitely. And you know, you're such a joy to be around, and you're such a kind person and everything. And you know, I try not to run a normal sports talk show. That sometimes can get a little boring. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, Jay, tonight that maybe you don't get asked often. And you have to choose one in this, okay, Jay? The pressure's on. Would you rather be asking the questions, or would you be rather be answering them? Because you're so versatile. You're a terrific analyst, and you're a terrific reporter asking questions. If you had to choose one, which would you prefer?
Well, I'm probably, you know, and I've done both, but I'm probably more comfortable as the reporter or the host or the interviewer, you know, asking the questions, just because, you know, I've done more of that. I mean, I've been in radio for really about 20 years now, full time, and I dabbled in it actually when I was in high school, so I won't count that. But I've been doing radio as a full time job, and you know, for my livelihood, for about 20 years, and you know, that the bulk of it has been the guy asking the questions, either as a host or a reporter or even as a producer, you know, that sort of thing. And I was actually, something you probably don't know about me, I mean, I actually started in news, on the news side of things. I'm kind of a news junkie. I mean, I always tell people that when I'm at home, I mean, I probably watch as much CNN or Fox or whatever, you know, wherever the breaking news is, as I do sports. I mean, I watch a lot of ESPN. I watch a lot of games, don't get me wrong. But when I'm just at home and the rare downtime that I do have, you know, I'm watching, I watch news. I like to know what's going on in the world. And, you know, I'm interested in this deal that we're trying to strike with Iran. And, you know, I'm interested in what's going on in the Middle East and, of course, what's going on in Washington, D.C. So, you know, I'm very intrigued by current events and public affairs. But to answer your question, I'm probably more comfortable as the guy asking the questions. But I've done a lot of interviews this way, too. And, I've been blessed to be the guest on a lot of different shows. And people love to talk Blazers and Ducks and all that stuff. So I just love talking sports and love talking about life. So, you know, fire away, Greg.
Well, let me ask you, you're a lot like me, Jay, and I'd expand that to one other thing. I love politics. My undergraduate degree is in political science, and I'm the same way. I love the news part, but, you know, I've also fallen in love with Home and Garden TV. I think it's an awesome channel, and I love watching that. But I wanted to ask you, Jay,
that's often on
in
our house,
Wheeler.
Too. HGTV is on a lot in our house too. I kind of interrupted you, but HGTV is on a lot, in our house too. My wife Mandy loves to watch those shows, and so by default, I watch some of them too. And you know, they're kind of interesting, to be honest with you. But go ahead, Greg. I know you were loading up a question for me.
No, they are very good. And I was just going to ask you, Jay, on the sports side. Let's take out Wheeler and Tone and the Mike and Mike Barrett and Rice. Far as announcers, is there somebody out there that really floats your boat? And there's one guy that does it for me, and I know that there's another person that just thinks he's the greatest too. Is Dwight James's nephew thinks he's the same as Kevin Harlan? We love the guy.
Yeah, no, I like Kevin Harlan too. Now, are you talking about play-by-play announcers or just, you know, TV, sports TV personalities? Because there's a couple
anybody
guys that come
in
to
the
mind.
Sports media.
There's a lot of great people here in Portland, obviously, and you mentioned some of them. I mean, listen, Mike Barrett is not only, he's a great professional colleague of mine, but he's one of my very good friends. I mean, he was the best man at my wedding a few years ago, so, you know, Mike and I are very good friends, and Wheels was the MC at the wedding reception, so, you know, he's a good friend. And the other guys you mentioned, too. But I have to say, kind of from a national level, and the reason I say this is because I kind of grew up listening to him when the Sonics – you remember the Sonics, right, when they were still around. But that's Kevin Colabro.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know him as a Seattle broadcaster, and since, you know, his main sport, you know, his main team is gone to Oklahoma City now, he's more known now as a national broadcaster. You know, he does stuff with TNT and ESPN Radio, and I think Kevin Colabro is one of the best around. I mean, I love the way he paints a picture and some of his catchphrases, and, you know, and I love that. As far as personalities, and you know, honestly, I don't care for some of the personalities on ESPN. They bore me. I get a little too tired of some of the catchphrases, and I think they try to be too cute sometimes. But one guy that I really like is Neil Everett, and I know he obviously has strong ties to Oregon, and he's a Duck, and I'm a Duck fan, and, you know, I've covered the Ducks for a long time. But I like Neil. I love his style and, you know, kind of a dry, witty sense of humor. So those are two of the guys that I really enjoy right now.
Jay, you know, speaking of ESPN, does it surprise you a little bit on the sports business side, and that's what the most that I love covering, actually, and plan to expand a lot of that as I finish out my life, is that ESPN's lost for the Nielsen ratings, which are pretty darn good, as you know. They've lost in the last year 3 million subscribers, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, taking them out of the rotation on cable and stuff, but and then Fox Sports 1, their ratings in the first quarter are up 73%. That's a little surprising.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, ESPN, if you didn't know better, you'd think ESPN was the only game in town. I mean, it's ESPN and ESPN 2, and they have so many channels, and it seems like they have, you know, they own the rights to all the big sporting events, and, you know, the way they promote and self-promote, it's, you know, they've done a great job. I mean, they really have. But it's been interesting to see some of these other startup networks. I mean, Fox Sports 1, I know they kind of struggled out of the gate, but it seems like they're gaining some momentum. Even, you know, a network like the NBC Sports Network, CBS Sports Network, there's so many channels. I mean, and I think if you're anything like me, you probably end up watching about 10 of them. That's out of the 300 or 400 that we have on our cable lineup. You know, you end up watching your 10 favorites on a regular basis. But it is very interesting, and I think cable TV, and I'm certainly not an expert on this. I mean, I know more about radio than I do TV. But I think cable TV and satellite TV, it's changing. I mean, you're starting to see more of these a la carte services, you know, whether you're talking Apple TV, something like that, or the Roku or Chromecast. There's just so many different outlets for people to get their information. But on the cable side of things, when you're starting to see these, you know, HBO Go, you know, some of these other services that are being offered, is it Sling TV, where for $20 a month you get a lot of the popular channels? And I saw just in the last day or so where Comcast now is going to start offering a streaming service. So I think if you're the cable companies, Time Warner, Xfinity, Comcast, these big companies, you got to start adapting with the times, because people. I think competition's good, Greg. I mean, I think competition is good. I don't like monopolies. And so the more choices that I can get, and if I want to buy channels a la carte, I think I should be able to do that. And so I think the companies that offer more choices to the consumers, they're the ones that are going to win and be around for the longest and have the most success.
I know I will lose a lot of fans, and I appreciate just the few that I have, Jay. So I got to ask you about the Oregon Ducks and the Blazers tonight. Let's start with the Oregon Ducks. You're very close in reporting on them, especially in football. And I just want to ask you a point-blank question. Are the Ducks going back to the Final Four this year in football? And I will tell you this, Jay, that I've been gone on record on Wheels at Work, and you do a lot of work at Wheels at Work on 620 Rip City Radio. I think the Oregon Duck men's basketball team is a Final Four team this year, and I think they will be in the Final Four under Dana Altman. Now, how about Mark Helfrich's team? Are they going to be back in the Final Four?
Well, first of all, that's quite a statement about the Ducks basketball squad. I mean, I know they have still a lot of young players, and you know, they're still kind of rebuilding that program after a lot of defections over the last couple of years. So that's quite a bold statement by you, Greg, and I hope that you're right. You know, I think the Pac-12 is going to be tough again this season. I mean, I think it may be one of the tougher years in the Pac-12. I mean, I think USC with Cody Kessler, they look like they're going to be loaded again. And some of these other schools, too. And I know some schools are rebuilding, and, you know, like a school like Arizona, they're replacing some guys. But for me, for Oregon, I mean, I know you probably want a yes or no answer. I got to wait and see how Vernon Adams does in the system. I mean, I think he's going to be good. I think he's the real deal. I know a lot of Duck fans are anointing him as the next Marcus Mariota. But for me, I got to wait and see, because I think it's a big step to go. And I know what he did at Eastern Washington against some Pac-12 schools, against Washington, against Oregon State. I know he had success. But to face those defenses, you know, week in and week out in the Pac-12, every single, you know, once you get into conference play for nine straight weeks, that's a different ballgame. And, you know, I think he has all the talent. He has all the physical tools. I think he's going to be fine. But, you know, how quickly does he pick up the system, and how quickly can he put it into action on the football field? You know, that second game of the season at Michigan State, that's going to be a huge test. So I'd love to think the Ducks are going to be back there. I think it's going to be very, very tough. But they certainly have the pieces on offense. I mean, this might be the best wide receiving core the Ducks have ever had when you think about it. Defensively, they have some questions to answer. But, you know, I'll go out on a limb and say Oregon wins the Pac-12 again. And I do think it is a little bit of a limb, because you are replacing Marcus Mariota. I don't think it's a slam dunk that, you know, to say that they're going to win the Pac-12 and go back to the college football playoff. But, hey, why not the Oregon Ducks? But I think it's going to be tough sledding in the Pac-12 this year for sure.
Jay, would you know, I know that a lot of people, you know, and I kind of knew that about you, you know, on the news side. But one thing a lot of people don't know about me is I've known Dwight James since he was 8 years old. I grew up with Dwight and his brother Bruce. And so
well, that's about what,
80, in
80, 90 years? Yeah,
yeah, at least 94. 94 years. Yeah.
Oh, man. If Dwight's listening, I'm in trouble.
He's 102. He probably is. He'd never admit that he'd listen, as you know, but he's listening, definitely. But I kind of agree with Dwight on this one subject, Jay, and I know you're involved, and I say this on a positive note. I sure would like to hear more from Paul Allen, because when Paul Allen talks, very interesting, and maybe because he doesn't talk that much, and of course, people listening around the world, Paul Allen, the great owner of the Seahawks and the Portland Trail Blazers, and quite a philanthropist that nobody ever talks about, but, you know, I'd love to hear him more. I imagine you'd like to even interview him more.
I completely agree with you, and I've had the opportunity to interview Paul Allen in a lot of different settings, one-on-one, but also, you know, in a lot of group settings, because that's how he does most of his interviews, you know, especially when you're talking about the Blazers. But, you know, the funny thing is, you know, they always say Paul doesn't like to do interviews. He's not comfortable doing interviews. And I don't know, he may not be. He may not feel comfortable doing it. But whenever he does interviews, the ones that I've done with him, the ones I've seen him do with other people, or the ones that, you know, that I've been a part of a group, you know, interview session with him, I always think he does a really good job. I enjoy listening to him speak. And not just about sports. I mean, I like hearing him speak about business and technology and his philanthropy and all those things. So, you know, he's kind of a quiet guy. Kind of, you know, if you walked by Paul Allen, if you passed him on the street and didn't know what he looked like, you didn't know who he was, you'd never know that he was a big-time sports owner and worth, you know, what, $15, $20 billion or whatever it is these days. You know, he's just kind of a quiet, unassuming guy. So, no, I agree with you. I always enjoy hearing Paul Allen talk, and, you know, I'd love to see him do more interviews. But when you're one of the richest guys in the world and one of the richest owners in sports, you kind of do interviews when you want to do them. That's kind of your prerogative, Greg, right? When you're like me and you're just a lowly, you know, low on the totem pole, you know, when somebody calls and says, hey, you want to do my show, you say, hey, it's a privilege. I'd love to do it, you know. So, but when it's Paul Allen, you pick your spots, I guess.
Yeah, and very well said. I mean, I just am kind of mesmerized, and I don't get that way. You know, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, interview some great people like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and Jerry Colangelo and Jerry Reinsdorf, and the best person I probably ever interviewed, Jay, was Harry Callis. I used to have him on my program on the old KFXX on a regular basis once a week. He was awesome, but I'm mesmerized when I hear Paul Allen talk, because he's such a great interview. You know, and speaking of the Blazers, Jay, you've been around sports a long time, and people don't realize that, because they don't know me. I'm a very kind of private person, in a way, and they don't know that when I say something, I mean it. It's not made for hype. It's factual. You run the best post-game show, the fifth quarter, in all of professional basketball, and I listen to all of them. I'm not some, you know, guy that just comes on and says that because I live in Portland, Oregon, but you do the best job of anybody. And if you're a sports aficionado, Jay. Have you ever seen a team lose four starters that coming off a 51-31 record, which is great? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, and by the way, I appreciate your kind words, and you're always so generous to me, and I appreciate that. You know, it's pretty shocking in a lot of ways to see what's happened the last couple of weeks with the Blazers. I mean, I guess maybe we could have predicted it. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge was the big domino, and once he left, the other dominoes kind of fell right behind him. Obviously, they traded Batum, you know, before free agency began, but I can't remember, you know, at least not in recent memory, a team that won 50-plus games and 54 the season before that and got to the second round, you know, the prior season, you know, just losing 80% of their starting lineup. I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. But this is where we are here in Rip City. And I will say this, and I was doing another interview earlier, and, you know, and I kind of talked about the same thing. If you have to kind of start over, and I know the Blazers don't want to use the word rebuild, but if you have to kind of do your roster over, it's not a bad thing to start with a guy like Damian Lillard and have him locked up for the next 6 years. That's not a bad place to start. You know, and I think point guard is probably the most important position on the floor, you know, your floor general, and I think the Blazers are in good hands with Damian Lillard, especially on the offensive end of the court. He needs to work on his defense, and I think he knows that. But the Blazers, it's going to be a very interesting season coming up. They're going to be young. They're going to make mistakes. There's going to be growing pains, but I think they're going to be kind of fun to watch. I mean, there might be nights where they turn it over 23, 24, 25 times a game, but they score, you know, 105 points. You know, but they might give up 110. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this roster and this team comes together. And by the way, I don't think Neil Shea is done. I know today they announced Mo Harkless in that trade. I think there might be another move or two coming, and I think it quite possibly might involve Chris Kaman. So the next couple of months leading up to training camp is going to be very interesting for the Blazers.
And, Jay, you know, as you well know, and people that follow the NBA, and I've followed it since 1960, frightening as it is, on a serious basis, just when you write somebody off. You know, I used to listen with my transistor. Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, Jay, is I can remember listening to, you know, Bill King, you know, describing a game in St. Louis against the St. Louis Hawks in the 60s on my transistor radio out of KNBR in San Francisco, and Bill King counting at every break, counting the people in the stands, you know, and of course I can remember when the NBA was tape delayed everywhere, you know.
That's right.
And
well, I mean, I can just envision it. I can envision it right now, Greg. You know, you and Dwight James each on one side of the ladder holding it up for Naismith as he put the peach basket up. I can just see it in my mind's eye right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got to beat Dwight up just a little bit, don't we, in a friendly nature? And as you know, Jay, I was out front with Damian Lillard, you know, on Comcast Sportsnet a year and a half in advance. And I said that went on there, and I said, you know, the Blazers, quite frankly, they've got to draft Damian Lillard in the future. This guy's unbelievable. He'd set the town on fire. He'd be unreal. People would love him. The guy's a superstar potentially. And, you know, of course, I got laughed at and everything. And Dwight's comment was, he says, well, why would you want the second best guard in the whole league that he's in? And I said, well, who's the first best guard in that league? I don't know anybody better. He says, well, Dellavedova is better than he is. And I said, well, Dwight, there's one problem with that. Lillard's in the Big Sky, and Dellavedova's in the West Coast Conference. And I thought Antonio Harvey was going to fall off his chair. So that's our beating up of Dwight tonight.
All right. Well, hey, that's an honest mistake by the Godfather. We can let that slide. But you were right. I mean, listen, Damian is the real deal. There's no doubt about it. He's been tremendous. I think he's a top five point guard right now. I think he'll end up being a perennial all-star, even though it's a tough position in the West, because it seems like everybody, the top 8 or 10 teams, they all have all-star point guards, it seems like. But, no, Damian's tremendous. Like I said, he needs to improve on the defensive end of the court. And that's the interesting thing. You know, a couple of questions that I have for the Blazers going in, or about this Blazers roster, the way it's configured right now. And, again, it could change over the next couple months before training camp in October. But, you know, one, where are they going to get the scoring from? I mean, you can't ask Damian Lillard to shoulder the entire load. You know, Damian can't play 45 minutes, 48 minutes a game. And I think that's going to be the temptation that Terry Stotts is going to have to avoid, especially without a bona fide backup point guard on the roster right now. And I understand C.J. McCollum's going to play some backup point guard. He'll have the ball in his hands. But I want to see where the scoring's coming from. And I think because they need scoring in that starting lineup, you know, I think C.J. McCollum will be the starting shooting guard. I know a lot of people disagree with me, and they say it'll be Gerald Henderson. I think it'll be C.J. McCollum. The Blazers have loved C.J. ever since the moment they drafted him, and I think he's the heir apparent to Wesley Matthews. You know, and I think Myers Leonard's probably going to be in the starting lineup, although I sure like this Noah Vonleh kid. I love what I'm seeing from him at Summer League, and I understand it's just Summer League, quote-unquote, only Summer League. But, boy, you can see why the Blazers wanted to get him from Charlotte in that Nick Batum trade. He's got some talent. Only 19 years old, former lottery pick. He's got talent. But, again, you know, they're going to have issues. You know, they got to figure out how to score. But they've also got to defend, too. So, you know, there's some big question marks about this team. But I think it's an exciting young roster that'll be able to grow together over the next 3 or 4 years.
And you know what? What's interesting, Jay, is, you know, I spoke about following the NBA since the 60s, and I actually have three very close friends that have been really successful general managers and executives in the NBA, now retired, and they all really are high on Neil O'Shea. And the second part I wanted to say about that is, is there anybody in sports that gives a better press conference than Neil O'Shea?
Not that I know of. I mean, he is tremendous, and I've been to a lot of press conferences, although I have to say last Thursday when the Blazers had their press conferences, it was the first time that I had ever covered three press conferences in one day with the same organization, with the Blazers, with one team. I mean, they started at 10 o'clock, with Neil O'Shea and the free agency press conference and, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and Wesley Matthews and those topics. And they took a quick break, reconfigured the microphones, and brought Damian Lillard up and Terry Stotts and talked about his 5-year extension. And then they brought the new, the new guys, Al Farouq Aminu and Ed Davis up. So it was three press conferences that they jammed into 2 hours. But to answer your question, I mean, Neil O'Shea, he wins the press conference. There's no doubt about it. He is masterful. And I thought, and I said this on the air on Rip City Radio 620, you know, after that press conference, I thought that Neil, you know, and he went for almost an hour. I thought that he was as transparent and forthcoming and forthright as he absolutely could be. I mean, there's some conversations with your players and with agents and other executives that, you know, are privileged and you're not going to go into details. But I thought he was as open and honest as he could be. And I thought it was a very, very revealing press conference, just some of the background info about LaMarcus and, you know, when he made that comment about how they didn't necessarily inherit the happiest player 3 years ago when this current management team took over. And also knowing that, you know, Neil had gone to the agents of Wesley Matthews and Robin Lopez early in the process, which I'm led to believe that it was months ago, not just weeks ago, but months ago, they informed those guys that, hey, you guys are tied to LaMarcus. So if LaMarcus doesn't come back, chances are, you know, we're kind of starting over here. So I thought there was some very revealing things from that press conference from Neil O'Shea last week.
Jay, we're out of time. Tremendous job. Will you come back on in a few weeks?
Absolutely. I always enjoy talking to you. You're always so generous coming on the fifth quarter and on Wheels at Work and all of our shows. And it'd be a pleasure. It was great to be on with you. And thanks so much for asking me to come on the show.
It was an honor to have you on. The great Jay Allen. You can catch him everywhere. Rip City Radio 620. Awesome job with the Blazer coverage. Ducks, you name it. He is a talented guy, and we're happy to have him and thrilled to have him in Portland. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Jay. And don't forget, everybody, make your free throws. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Catch us on the podcast if you can't listen live. Good night, everyone.